This is in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the United States. We stand with you.
For African people, nothing important happens without a libation. And so for this very important presentation, we begin by the pouring of libation. We pour libation first to our first ancestor, to that hidden one who, though hidden, manifests in all things as all things, that God-goddess idea in the universe by any and all names. To our first ancestor, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they were the first people on this planet, mothers and fathers of all mankind, flashpoint of the human family. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they were the ones who first gave birth to the idea of civilization, knew we would need a form of governance, and they nurtured that idea along the Nile until it reached its zenith in Kemet. There they built these gigantic monuments as evidence of that great civilization, and they carved instructions on the walls of temples and tombs for us so we would never forget. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to our ancestors because over time they put together all the tenets of civilization and they took those ideas and left the continent. They were the people of the first Exodus. They left Africa and went all over the world and peopled the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they did not sit on their laurels. They continued to improve, continued to evolve, and at each point of evolution, they again would leave the continent and settle and resettle the planet. They met themselves coming and going. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to those ancestors because Over time, they found themselves the object of a forced exodus when they were kidnapped, shackled, cargoed, shipped out of Africa and enslaved in diasporas around the world to those ancestors we pour libation, our shame. Pour libation too to the ancestors left at home, the very young, the aged, the infirm, left to reinvent themselves, depleted of us, human resources. But they were enjoined by us in the diasporas, both objects of a global myopia that ruptured the soul of a people as it ravaged a continent. To those ancestors, we pour libation, our shame. Pour libation too to those ancestors because over time they began to remember who and what they were. Because no matter where they had been dropped off, they still retained bits and pieces of who and what they were. They retained that African core that described them. They began to remember bits and pieces of a song. They began to remember lines from a rhythm. They began to remember dances that they did in ancient times. They began to remember those ancient drum beats that they now beat out on bare skin. And so to those ancestors, we pour libation, our shame. Pour libation too to them because they then began to teach each other. They began to resurrect and reconstruct that history and that culture. They became the new Africans wherever they were. They became the new teachers, preachers, archaeologists, the new singers, dancers, the new drummers, the new Jalia. They reconstructed that history and our culture and became new Africans everywhere. So to those ancestors, we pour libation. I shame. Pour libation to those ancestors because they are the ones who passed that information on to us. And so we pour libation to those of you who will watch this presentation, those of you who are the recipients of that pieced together history, of that reconstructed culture. To you, we pour libation, our shame. Pour libation too to our children and those yet to be born, for they are the ones that you must teach, and you can only teach if you know the history. So to you who are learning the history and are passing on that history, and to our children who are learning that history and will pass that history on to all eternity, for they will call your name in all eternity. To our children we pour libation. Ashe, Ashe, Asheo.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Oh, I'm so glad I got you here.
Wanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk Radio Broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Hello, hello, everybody. Hello, happy Saturday. And thank you for joining us at Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. Before we get started, I would like to take some time and thank everyone for being here with us to breathe. And I ask that our listeners call in to participate in the community therapy discussion. Join us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe at 215-490-9832. Now let's get it. For my regulars, you know how it goes. And for my newer listeners, we like to start the show off by paying some respect to our ancestors. I say, today's ancestral profile will focus on Hazel Johnson Brown. As we approach the 4th of July, between the fireworks, barbecues, and parades, stop for a moment to remember Hazel Johnson Brown. On June 14th, 33 years ago on Flag Day in 1979, she became the first Black woman general in the entire history of the U.S. military. Brown, who passed away in 2011, was born and raised right here in Chester County. It's safe to say her home and her childhood shaped her life and values. Hazel Johnson was born in Westchester in 1927 to Clarence L. and Garnett Johnson. But she spent most of her childhood growing up in Malvern. Her parents had a farm on Valley Hill Road, where they raised a variety of livestock and grew fruits and vegetables. They lived off the land and also supplied tomatoes to the Campbell Soup Company. One of seven siblings, Hazel learned the value of hard work on the farm at an early age. She later recalled, "My dad had seven kids. He didn't have to hire anybody. Her father instilled all of the Johnson siblings with discipline and responsibility that stuck with her throughout her life. Even at that young age, and probably because of her loving yet strict parents, she learned to appreciate order and organization. I was always a planner," she remarked. "I was always one that wanted to get things taken care of and in order." These attributes served her well later in life. Hazel excelled at academics as a student at East Whiteland Elementary School and later Trotter Friend Easttown Junior / Senior High School, today known as Conestoga. Like most success stories, it was the influence of one person in particular that inspired Hazel, as her sister, Gloria Smith, currently a resident of Wilmington, Delaware, recalls the kids were periodically visited by Nurse Elizabeth Fritz, who checked up on them. Hazel admired Miss Fritz greatly and aspired to become a nurse herself one day. Despite her academic success and resolve, the obstacles for an ambitious young African-American woman in the 1940s were formidable. As her sister Gloria conveys, when Hazel approached the Chester County Hospital to enter their nursing program, she was abruptly told that they never have and never will allow Black women into the program. Undeterred, Hazel approached Miss Fritz with her dilemma. After a phone call from the well-connected nurse to a friend, she was accepted to Harlem Hospital School of Nursing program in New York. Hazel enrolled in 1947 and graduated in 1950. Starting as a beginning-level staff nurse in Harlem Hospital's emergency ward, Hazel quickly rose up the ranks. In 1955, she entered the Army Nurse Corps as a staff nurse at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C. Over the next 12 years, she held a variety of positions at various medical centers, including the 8169 Hospital in Japan and Valley Forge General Hospital. Throughout her career, Hazel continued to excel academically. She earned her BS in 1959 for Villanova, MS in 1963 from Columbia University and PhD in 1978 from Catholic University. She taught healthcare and health administration at such august institutions as the University of Maryland, Georgetown University, and George Mason University. Shortly before receiving her PhD, she was appointed director of the Walter Reed Army Institute of Nursing. While her career rose and influence spread, then as a colonel, she grabbed the attention of the popular press. In 1977, the magazine Ebony called her one of the real heavies in her field and anticipated her future ascension to the first Black woman general. A key to Hazel's success was her well-rounded personality and intellect. She treated everyone the same and always was a people person. Her sister Gloria Smith remarks, and throughout her career, destiny appeared to play a part as well. In the 1960s, while at Valley Forge General Hospital, Hazel was slated to go to Vietnam but became very ill and stayed home. The unit she would have gone with was attacked shortly after arriving in Vietnam. The nurse who took her place was killed in the attack, along with numerous others killed or wounded in the incident. Her career reached its pinnacle in 1979 when President Carter nominated her as a Chief Army Nurse Corps, and as such, promoted her to the rank of Brigadier Hospital. She was confirmed later that year by the Senate and officially took her post on September 1st, 1979. Not only was she the first Black woman general, but she was the only, the third female general in the Army and the first Army Nurse Corps chief with an earned PhD. She retired in 1983 from the post, but continued to be active as an academic leader in the nursing field through the 1980s and 1990s. She married David Brown in 1981, and they later divorced. When she passed away in August 2011, General Johnson Brown received a fitting tribute at home arranged by DeBaptiste Funeral Home in Westchester. Another service was held at her church, St. Clair in Clifton, Virginia. Her funeral was held in Arlington National Cemetery, where she was interred with a ceremony fitting her accomplished career. When discussing her story with Chester County Hospital officials, they stated that General Hazel Johnson Brown demonstrated individual perseverance to rise above the many barriers facing African American women and men in the last century. We all have much to learn from her life. It is also important to be reminded of how far our society has advanced in the past 70 years, and the work still lies before us. As a leading figure in her field and trailblazer for future Black women leaders, General Hazel Johnson Brown will forever be remembered in the annals of American military history as Army Nurse Corps historian Lieutenant Colonel Nancy Cantrell explains. Brigadier General Hazel Johnson Brown was remarkable in that she commanded during a transitional period for the Army Nurse Corps and led with dignity and style. She was considered a great leader of the corps and was well respected and loved. If you love this story, please follow us, like us, subscribe to us, and do become a Patreon at www.patreon.com/BlackSisterTalk so that we can continue to have these well thought out biographies. So, how everybody doing today? I'm hoping well. I'm doing well over here. and we're going to get right into today's topic. I want to say happy Saturday and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk. I am Miss Wanda, your therapist's favorite therapist, giving you yet another unfiltered, candid conversation. But before we get started, I would like to make a quick disclaimer about today's content. This discussion is for anyone who is over 18 years or older. If such material offends you or is illegal for you to hear and participate in, I ask that you remove yourself from this discussion. If you are here and able to participate, I ask that you accept all responsibilities for your own actions and feelings, because sisters, we gonna breathe today. Sisters and brothers, we are going to have a vagina dialogue about the sacral chakra, female ejaculation, and exploring your body as a woman. Okay, I know. Let's get into this. Y'all know that's when that intro came on between the sheets. Y'all know it was going to be a topic of discussion. And let's all put our professional hats down for a minute, because y'all got here through this discussion right here. And so today we're going to talk about it. Yeah, this ain't going to be that elephant in the room. We're going to talk about it. So, ladies, growing up as a child, the woman is taught to tend to the man without being taught how to tend to herself. Sexuality has been looked at as being forbidden and programmed to make you feel inadequate. Today, inadequacy shall be thrown out the window and women shall feel safe and free to talk about their sexualities. Right here on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. So let's get into it. I'm going to start this discussion off by giving you guys some foundations on the root and sacral chakras, because I would like us to also think about this discussion as a body awareness type of discussion as well. Okay. And so when I talk about the root and the sacral chakra, I talk about this because it's the foundation of the human energy. So when we look at the root chakra, it's the foundation of the human energy system, which governs our basic needs for safety and security. It is located at the base of the spine and it is associated with the color red. Okay, a healthy and open root chakra is required for all sexual connections because we must be willing to trust our partners. So that's, I want to bring that mind-body awareness to this, because some of us may be listening and saying, well, what is the chakras and what is this and what is that? And so I hope that this discussion helps you to maybe go afterwards and do some research on all the rest of your chakras, because they all have a lot of importance to our bodies and minds. And so the more you begin to understand where those places are located, you can then learn how to heal those places or how to boost those places up. Okay. So back to the trust in other partners. So the root chakra is the chakra where we have sexual connections, because it assists us in safety and security. Okay. Now, the sacral chakra is located above your pubic bone and is responsible for passion, sexual intimacy, money, creativity, and joy. The balance of the sacral chakra allows us to improve our relationships with ourselves and others. The sacral chakra governs the reproductive systems and processes, sexuality, relationships, emotions, and a sense of adventure. Okay. When this chakra becomes imbalanced by stress, illness, emotional upset, or conflict, this can cause blockages or imbalance in that sacral. Okay. It has been said that no two chakras are so closely located than the root and the sacral chakra, which together becomes the source of your sexual energy and desire. It is the gateway to nurturing and revitalizing your energy, that energy in which enters your body. The root and sacral chakra is linked to the feelings of being grounded, supported, and secure, which can be translated to opportunities outside of ourselves, such as financial security, possessions, popularity, and career. This means balance must exist. For example, if you have a strong peer sacral chakra, but your root is weak, you don't fully express your sexuality. When there is balance on the other side, right, you will have deeper orgasms, sexual stamina, stronger erections. I know you men are happy to hear that, and control over your sexual energy. Okay. These people tend to be happier and have overall better mental health. Okay, so I feel like I gave you guys a good understanding of the root and the sacral chakra and the importance it brings to your sexuality and your relationship with yourself and others. Now, I want to open the lines. If anybody has any questions, I want you to go ahead and ask those questions now before we keep going, because I don't want to lecture at you. We're going to have an open dialogue about this. This was called vagina dialogue, right? That means, come on, women, we're going to talk about it. So anybody has any questions about the sacral or the root chakra and what that means? Okay. Okay, well, then I'm going to keep going. So when we're thinking about the root and the sacral chakra and the importance that that brings to the body awareness, maybe that is a reason why there are some blockages in your life. Would you say that you've ever experienced sexual inadequacy, or let's just be put plain and simply, what has been your experience with your sexuality? Let's start there with this discussion now that we talked about this sacral and root. And y'all ain't gonna have me out here on Front Street telling y'all all my business first. So speak up, ladies.
What's the question, Miss Chambers?
Oh my God. Miss Devine!
I'm here and I am a little bit on time.
Girl, you on time. Miss Laney on the line too. We finna get into this discussion. I mean, I'm trying to keep some order here because, I mean, the other day I sent the Miss Laney, you sent me a picture in a text message. Look, I'm nervous, can't even get the words out right now, y'all, because I was shocked as hell about what I seen. So this discussion will touch bases on all sexuality. Easy living sexuality and all that goodness. Okay, so Miss Devine, you right on time. I just gave everybody a introduction and talked about the root and the sacral chakra and its connection to provide some body awareness to this discussion. And then we were just getting into our first question, which was, what has been your experience with your sexuality? Who taught you about your sexuality?
Well, nobody taught me about mine. I had to learn on my own. And my experience with it is great now, but when I was, growing up, it was not the best. Lots of abuse and things like that. And so by me not being taught anything, it just wasn't something that I really understood. And then by me being abused, which caused issues with my root chakra and my sacral chakra, it really, really caused me to, let me see, how do I say, I was confused, because I wouldn't say the word confused. The word I would use is I was not comfortable. So I was actually anti-sexual when I was younger. When I was able to explore it, like, you know, when I was like 16, 17 years old, I had never had a boyfriend and things like that. So that's kind of my experience.
Mm-hmm. I can agree. Mm-hmm. I can agree with you to say this much. I wasn't taught about my sexuality in that way. I wasn't taught. I was taught the value of it. You know, when you're a young girl, that you always told, hey, remain a virgin as long as you can. That's what you'll be told. Remain a virgin as long as you can, or don't have sex until you get married. If those was the two, that was the sex talk. Don't do it until you get married. You know, number one. And then also, you know, being a young girl, I would imagine having or experiencing a lot of insecurities because your body is changing, your hormones are coming into play. And so somebody who tells you you're pretty when you feel so ugly during that phase, not good, you know, not good to really hear from a young man or somebody else, because they take that on as prey, and you take that on as naive, as being naive. And so somebody just looking at you and telling you you look pretty, after not being taught anything about your sexuality, becomes an issue for us as women, because we don't know. And we learn about our sexuality, I would say, through trial and error. Through the guys who tell you you look nice, or, you know, doing that work on yourself and learning how to love you. But if self-worth and self-love is not taught and or demonstrated, you go into this world thinking about your sexuality as being forbidden. I mean, the first story we're told is about Eve. Eve bit into that apple. That apple was sexuality. That apple was a representation of sex. Come on now, my historians on the line know it. Let's bring that Lilith up, okay? We know about that Lilith, right? Oh, we don't know about that Lilith. I ain't about to snatch no band-aids off of nobody right now, because Lilith would be the one who Satan wanted, right? And that's why Eve was seduced by the snake, right? Who represents the devil, or AKA Satan. So that apple that Eve bit into was not necessarily apple. It was her having sex with Satan. But they ain't gonna say it like that now, y'all. Take a deep breath. Only reason I'm bringing that story up is to say that for all of us who grew up in these Christian households, this is what we're being told, and painting these images in our mind from a young child about our sexuality. Even though it wasn't explained that way, that forbidden apple represented a sin, and sex was thought of to be a sin. And so how have you combated the thoughts of, or the ideas of sexuality being a forbidden thing for women, and something that you just should not enjoy? Because I think, and the reason I'm bringing this up, ladies, is so I can slowly walk us down the aisle to discussing pleasure. Okay, because if you're giving this image about sex being forbidden, and then when you are given these image of you the woman, you, your job is to please and be submissive to the man. Thank God for modern women today that just ain't hearing it. But for the ones that have this traditional mindset, right, you go through life probably not being sexually pleased because of some of these ideas. And so how do you guys feel about having your needs met? What does that look like? Do you understand what your needs are? And what did you have to do to discover what it was that you liked or didn't like? Oh, you thought this discussion today was going to be PG-13? No, this is going to be a discussion that is going to talk about you as a woman. And I want you to know, if you can't be comfortable here talking to another woman about it, baby girl, you in trouble. we got to unblock the sacral. We got to unblock the root. And we got to get to the third eye so I can get you some insight on your sexual pleasures. All of this COVID and y'all stuck in the house. I know y'all been bumping and grinding. Oh, y'all sitting, you over there laughing, Miss Divide. Everybody on that line, y'all done got it in some one way or another. If it was a real thing, or it's nothing like the real thing, baby. Y'all know about that. Y'all know what them songs about for my my crowd. They'd be like, oh, I ain't about to say nothing about that. Got your fans on and everything. We gonna talk about it. It's getting hot. Shit, I got my fan on over here too. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad at all. Let's talk about it. Take a deep breath. Ain't nobody can see you. Don't nobody know who you is. They know who I am. I should be the one that's the most worried on this line right now. Let me tell you. But I'm not even worried because everybody has sexual urges. It's part of who you are as a human being. So there's no way to get away from it. Sometimes your sexual urges show up before you even understand what they mean. You know, that's a real thing. So we're going to talk about it. Ms. Divine, what you thinking? You like, oops.
Well, I think that I think the questions that you raised are very, very valid questions. Questions that I think that people need to ask. That people need to ask more in depth and think about more in depth. Because when you think about sexuality, a lot of us have not been properly educated about our sexuality or even sex alone. And so It was something that, is, of course, as kids, that it's like, stay away from. And partly because of our parents' traumas and their fears of maybe us getting into things a little bit too soon, because maybe they got into things too soon. And so, when it comes to that kind of thing and learning about it, even as adults, I feel like we still need to have these types of discussions because, like I said, I became familiar with my own sexuality as an adult just a year ago, you know, comfortably, and I'm 32. You know, if we're going to talk like you said, let's talk. Let's keep this 100. And so, you know, it's just not something that I just really understood the way that I would have liked to understand it as a young woman earlier in my life. Not earlier in my life as a kid, but earlier in my life in my early adult life. When it comes to the whole the Lilith thing, I like to think of Lilith as the shadow side of who you are as a person. It's your inner animal or animus. It's the part of you that you're not able to express, you know, in the world, as they say, during the day. You know what I mean? And when you integrate that part of yourself, first of all, when you even come in contact with that part of yourself, that is something that's very beautiful because you're expressing yourself the way you feel the need to. But if you're a little bit dangerous, you might want to get some help because, you know, everything that people think is a good thing sexually or is good sexually is not always appropriate for other people or even for themselves. And so a lot of people have some, you know, some ways about themselves that need to be questioned. But that's why I think it is good to talk about those things and express verbally, you know, how you're feeling about that with your partner so that that's something that you can be able to appropriately express and feel comfortable while you're appropriately expressing it. You know, so that's kind of my thoughts on it.
Well said, Ms. Divine. I heard you. Freaking the sheets. Professional in the streets, freaking the sheets. Yeah. You know, Miss Sherman said right down to the point. I understood what you said very well. Yeah. Your shadow stuff. The freak comes out at night. Okay. And during the daytime is for business. I received that. And so with that being said, you know, looking at what pleases you. Some of these people don't even get in contact with their shadow self because it's looked at forbidden. It's looked at as bad. It's okay to be able to address those things. You know you're a dominatrix or a dominating type of person, you need to find somebody that you can live that out with. Don't be in a relationship with somebody and you can't be who you want to be in that relationship. You're gonna have to find somebody else, sister. And with that being said, I picked up on just having these conversations with your partner. How comfortable would you be to have a conversation with that partner? Would you stay in a relationship with someone and continue to have lousy sex, but say, oh, well, he's a good guy? Or would you say
something?
Absolutely not.
No, ma'am. No, I will not be able to be a part of that program. And I know that's something that really needs to be addressed, because I really do understand that. Listen, I'm just going to be honest. I know that some people feel like that's like really out of control, that that's really foul, but it's a lot of people out here. Some people like what they like, and some people like, you know, they may not like certain things. And I know for me, a requirement in a relationship, amongst other things, is we have to be sexually compatible. If you are not lining up with the way that I am sexually, not even the way I am, but if you're not pleasing to me sexually, it's a no-go for me. Because it, to me, it's emotional, it's a connection. And with all that as in there, I just don't want to give my energy to a person that is not able to give me that energy back, or able to, you know, we're just not compatible. So if it's not working out, the relationship has to be over. He could be a great guy, but it's not something I can handle.
My God, today, brother, listen, you have very stimulating conversations. However, you are not able to stimulate me in ways that I need to be stimulated. What do you mean, miss? I'm just trying to think how that conversation goes. Strength-based. Because because anything short of trying to say strength-based sounds like you ain't good for shit, okay? That's what it sounds like to me. Okay.
No, you're not good for me.
You're just not good for me, okay?
Okay.
I can see this look of confusion on that brother face, as he walks out the door. But seriously, I really can't. I couldn't vibe with that either. I mean, that would be an issue, because if you're trying to be with somebody long term and marry, you know, that'd be a lifelong to death do you part horrible sex. And so how important is sex in the relationship? That's what it comes down to. Well, he does everything else right. I could work on your sex, you know. You could learn how to do that better. Is that one of those things you think a brother can learn to do better? Can you coach him through it?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, especially if the size is of my liking. Absolutely. I can teach you how to work what you have if you don't know how to work it. But what I cannot do is be unfair to you and lie and say that, you know, I'm happy with you, knowing that I'm not, when I may just be happy with you in other ways. You may be, you know, able to support me emotionally. But and I'm talking about me. I'm only talking about me. I am an emotional person. And so the way that I operate when it comes to my intimate relationships, when I have one, I have to be able to go there emotionally with you. And if I'm not happy or satisfied with you emotionally, I'm not going to be there. And my attitude will show that. And so if I'm not, you know, if it's just not working, and I do want to kind of clear this up a little bit, because I don't want to sound like, okay, wow, she's foul. That's, you know, she's foul. It's not that I'm saying that I would just drop the person. But first of all, if I'm talking to a person and I'm in a relationship with them and we start going further and then I drive that car, you know, and it ain't what I like, I'm going to cut that off right away.
You know, you can't buy a car and take it back to the dealer now, Ms. Divine. That thing depreciates. Soon you take off the lot, what you going to do with
it? I'm definitely not going to continue. Well, see, here's the thing. That's why I do interviews. If I have a, you know, because I am single And so I will ask, just like how, see, I want women to understand something. You can ask men to see their penises because
my
men
God, today,
ask,
really?
Men, I mean, yeah, you can, because I do. Because here's the thing. If men ask to send, and we are grown, but men still today, grown as hell, will ask a woman to send them pictures of them. I'm not sending you nothing, but you're going to send me something if we to go any further, because that is a determining factor for me. Like I said, I'm not talking about everybody else. I'm just talking about me. It may sound a little harsh, may sound a little vain, but I'm still talking about me.
Guess
so
what,
I want to make that clear.
Ms. Yvonne, that's okay that you're talking about you, because these other sisters out here could tend to learn a lesson from that. They ain't got to adopt your approach necessarily the way you, what you doing, but they can go about the way you doing. So sisters, you should definitely have an application, and these interviews go past 21 questions. But I think the first one on Ms. Yvonne's list is saying size does matter.
That's
okay.
After I check on some other things too. That's not my only thing. You know, I'm not just all about the sex, but it's definitely in the top five. It might even be in the top three. Like,
listen,
I need to know certain things.
Because if you get to three and the other two good, I can't even go past three anyways.
Well, you know, I got to ask certain questions so I can make sure that you are even what I could imagine myself talking to seriously or further. And I could tell off the bat, you know what I'm saying, what's going on. So, and then just, you could tell a lot of things by the way that men talk, just like men can tell a lot of things, you know, by the way that women talk. And so, like I said, you know, I do have an application, little process that I have to know certain things. And the funny thing is men respect that. Men respect women who are open and honest, and it's a turn on to them when you know exactly what you want and when you're able to say what it is that you want, or when you're able to ask. You know what I mean? Men do it all the time. I think I'm just a female. I don't want to say that I'm a male in a female's body, because I'm not confused at all, but I approach men in certain ways that men approach women, and then men are not really ready for that, because I'm not going to be the woman that's sitting down or laying down in a relationship and not getting what I want, but the man always getting what he wants sexually, because sex has always seemed like it's been about the gratification and pleasure of men. And Miss Divine by day, but Miss Enchantress by night, she ain't going.
Come on, come on. Snap, 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 snap. All I got to say is you are not wrong, because especially for those women that are in long-term relationships, you understand what I'm saying? Ain't no way in the hell you're going to be able to go to bed every night to that, and you ain't, you know what I'm saying? And you, everything just about pleasing a man, you know what I mean? That is not okay. Everybody, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So if you're going to show up to the game, everybody got to win. This ain't no win-lose game. This is a new type of game.
This ain't basketball.
This ain't NBA 2K21. This ain't Mortal Kombat. Fatality. Kill and beat the girl down. No. This is about some love making. This is about reciprocation. Because we're talking about our chakras, and we're talking about women and how we are. We're emotional beings. Sex starts before the bedroom. Okay? It starts with thoughtfulness. That's what it starts with women. It starts with thoughtfulness. If we don't have that type of attention, I'm not trying to be getting down with you no ways.
Exactly.
Now, that's me. Everybody different, but I know me as a woman, I'm an emotional being. If you've been kind all day and you doing the right thing, you ain't doing nothing to piss me off, stuff is going to go great for you. But if you over here doing all kind of shit, irritating the motherfuckers and yelling at everything all the time, you know, no. Who want to go to bed with that? Nobody want to touch you. Nobody want to look at you. You probably won't go in the next room and read a book. You know, you got to look at those kinds of things too. We got to be real. We have to be able to speak our minds and be real about these kinds of things, because as a woman, yo, only duty is not to please the man. You are the prize, sister. You are the prize. If you knew what I knew at this point in life, if I knew these things when I was so much younger, I'd be really killing them. I was killing them then, but I'd be really killing them. You understand me? And so, treat your body.
Take care of your body as a woman. This ain't just about having sex. This is about taking care of your vagina. This is about eating right. This is about, you know, not overworking that thing. This is about safety. This is about all things when you talk about your vagina, because sex ain't all it's made for. You know, and we almost at the top of the hour, but really, having someone come into you, you need to already be able to be into yourself. You need to know how to please yourself. Because what about those women who don't have sex with men, period? And they just into peer pleasing themselves because they figured out, hell, I know how to please myself better than that fool. Please right. Believe me. I ain't got time. You understand that? It's all types of ways to look at this. But we at the top of the hour, and I want to hear some dialogue and a discussion about those thoughts right there. What about the ones that want to masturbate? What about masturbating and having fun with somebody? Come on. Let's breathe. Black Sister Talk.
What you are calling African history and Negro history are the missing pages of world history. Then he said, son, go study the history of your masters. Go study the history of the people who enslaved you and find out why they found it a necessity to remove an entire people from the respectful commentary of the history of the world. Well, my earliest impressions of them was a people in power who intended to stay in power. And I began to wonder why they had so much and other people had so little, and why everybody I knew worked harder than they. Who made this arrangement? I studied European history and world history. Now, when I went back to Schomburg with some knowledge of background of European history, now he began to show me how to study African history. Arthur Schomburg taught me the interrelationship of African history to world history. Willison Huggins of the Old Harlem History Club taught me the political meaning of history. And from the lectures of William Leo Hansberry of Howard University, I learned the philosophical meaning of history. The most valuable lesson I've learned is that when you address a people by their right name, that name must relate to land, history, and culture. All people go back to the geography of their original origin and identify themselves, no matter where they live on the face of the earth. We have overused the word black because black tells you how you look, but it don't tell you who you are. You can call an Italian white. That don't tell you anything about him. We are the only people who seem to have lost that all essential trait.
shoes. Hey girl, what's your fantasy? I'll take you there to that ecstasy. Oh girl, you blow my mind. I'll always be your freak. Let's make sweet love between the sheets.
For an awakening media lineup. Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspective, with host Brother Oshie, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Same time, same place. Continued Monday lineup, 6 p.m. till 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, with host Brother Jihad Ahmed, 8 p.m. till 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central, host Dr. Mawia Kambom and Sister Nataki Kambom, 9 p.m. till 10 p.m., Conversation Reparations, first and third Mondays. On Tuesday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Thursday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Melanin Live with host Lance Jones, co-host Oniswa Ayan. Fridays, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Time for an Awakening, with creator of Time for an Awakening and host, Brother Elliot, co-hosted by Brother Richard. Saturday, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m., Black Sister Talk, with host Wanda Chambers. 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., The Elders of Sankofa. And Sunday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening, host Brother Elliot and co-host Brother Richard. Check us out get informed.
You are listening to Black Sister Talk, So You Can Breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the TimeForAwakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com. Access the search portal and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Welcome back to Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. Before we get back into this discussion, I just want to give another quick disclaimer about today's content. This discussion is for anyone who is over 18 years or older. If such material offends you or is illegal for you to hear, I ask that you remove yourself from this discussion. If you are here and able to participate, I ask that you accept all responsibility for your own actions and feelings, because we're going to breathe today. We're going to breathe on sexuality. We are going to talk about the forbidden fruit. Let's talk about it. How y'all feeling? That music was bumping. So, let's get back into this between the sheet subject. What you got to breathe on? We got some gentlemen on the line. I sure want to hear what y'all got to say. Because the women was holding it down that first half.
What's up?
What's up?
What's going on, everybody? Though, yeah, I've been. It's been nice to hear. I heard Ms. Devon going in. I hear Ms. Wanda going in. I think it's a great conversation, though, that, you know, we all need to have, I think, for men and women. You know, women need it, though, because, I mean, I think one good discussion is, though, is looking at how women are not able to sexually liberate themselves, you know, and I think that's so a key topic that we need to talk about. But I get you on the males, though. On the males, though, I think that could be a hit to the males, too, so I think it's good. I think it's good for males to hear this conversation, you know, so that, you know, instead of us thinking that we know what the woman wants, the woman can ask us what they need, you know, so that we can give them what they want. You know what I mean? Because, you know, all in all, we all deserve a nut. It is what it is.
Equal opportunity participation. You understand that? Because at the end of the day, I have to just go back to communication. You can tell how well a couple communicate because communication doesn't just end with, hey, what you eat for dinner. You have to be able to communicate about all things and be okay with that. That's when you are truly comfortable. If you feel like there's a subject you can't talk about with your partner, that's a red flag. That's a red flag right there, because you want to be able to discuss all things. And if there's no love language discussion, no sexual desire discussion, all of those things, that all has a place in conversation in due time. Some people may want to have those conversations fast, and some people might be a little bit slower to have those conversations. But I guarantee you that you can have any conversation with anyone. It's just the tactic that you use when having it. And understanding the proper timing. You don't want to go into that early and she didn't lead you to do that, or vice versa. Make sure the signs are there. Because what I see today is a lot of sex going on and not a lot of relationships. I see people are just fine with having sex and don't want to deal with the extra drama too. So, you know, all of that becomes very important. So, how are you guys feeling about just getting right back into this topic of vagina dialogue?
Hey, Sister Chambers.
Hey, how you doing?
Finding yourself. Good evening, everyone who's on the line. A very interesting conversation of vagina monologues or vagina conversations.
You know, it's interesting, especially when one hasn't really had the real good conversation or the real good education about sex. I think one of the damages, especially for us as Black people, is that we don't get those conversations from our own mothers or fathers, right? And so what happens is we wind up listening to the radio. We wind up with our best friends, and whether they're girlfriends or boyfriends or whomever. And that's how we're learning, right? And so you kind of wonder, well, why is this thing with regards to premarital sex just, you know, not talked about enough? Maybe because of the fact that we really don't know who we really are within our own selves, within our own skins. And so we've been doing a lot of things by trial and error. And mm-hmm. and so yes, it's a much needed conversation. When is that conversation ever had at all? Right? Does it have to be underneath the classroom environment? But now public school systems have taken and thrown that out because of abstinence, so we don't get it there, right? We may get a reasonable facsimile of it at church, right? You know, but that's really not too fulfilling. So where are the next steps, right? The with the guys in the barbershop or with the ladies in the beauty salon. And so we're getting all these mixed messages, and out of this, we're trying to create something that works for us. And then what happens then, you know, there's the pregnancy pops and everything else, the sexually transmitted diseases, the incompetency, right, with regards to, or impotency, whether the guy cannot have a good, solid, firm erection at all, right? Or maybe there are sisters who have had vaginal mutilation and can't talk about it, right? So there's just so many different avenues. It's just a matter of time, you know, of trying to develop a communication between a couple.
You know what? You touched on a lot of key things right there, because for one reason or another, a lot of people are not just comfortable having these types of dialogues, whether it comes to pleasing themselves, addressing all the issues you just named. I mean, it was hard to get people to speak up on the line, and as women, to just speak about how they learned about their sexuality. You know, this is not taught. And so how you learn about it may create some sort of trigger for trauma for you as well, because, you know, we can't forget incest, you know, we can't forget molestation, we can't forget all of these other things that happen to us as very young children that could silence you and make and have you thinking sexuality is forbidden. And so a lot of the times when people are experiencing these kinds of things, we have to just begin to get comfortable talking about it, because we have to change the way we look at sex. We have to change the way we look at sex and educate our children about sex. When we grew up, if something nasty came on, your mama like cover your ears while they got their hands over your eyes. You know,
That's right.
That's not going on no more. We are living in a world that is forever changing, and things are very fast paced. These children have Google. Even if they don't get it from their parents, they know how to look up porn. They know how to look up clitoris. They know how to look up whatever words they done heard in these songs and find out the pictures and what they mean. They are way more advanced in learning about this sexuality than we were. Okay, I can definitely tell you that, because you might have learned. You might have been looking in the Playboy or something. You know, that's how you find out what you see in boobs before you get to touch them. And you fantasize about these things. You know, we have to be okay with addressing the fact that these are thoughts that we may have all experienced, because our libido is very much a part of our instincts and our survival. But we shut that off.
And Sister Chambers, let me also add on to this, because there was a story I came across just yesterday. It's out of the Lexington, South Carolina area, where this guy is, he's having, what the word is called, boogery. B-U-G-G-E-R-Y. And that's anal intercourse, right? But he's having anal intercourse, you ready for this? With a dog. With his own dog. Now, and so I don't know if you saw that story, but it, you see what has happened now, especially in this technological age, is that we've, our humanity is slowly but surely being bled from us. Because of the COVID, because of technology, because of all of these other things that have happened, when was the last time we really knew what it felt like to be in the arms of a woman, or in between the legs of a woman, or touching a woman's breast or suckling on them? When did we ever do that last, right? And so that gets away from us, and then the perversion starts to slowly but surely creep in. And then you have this story that you had that I came across on yesterday. And so what the hell is going on?
Oh, that is a damn lie. That is some attention-seeking behaviors right there. Let me tell you, first of all, this COVID ain't kept nobody from bumping and grinding. These people are out here getting busy. They still doing their left swipe. These people didn't give no damn about no COVID. I'm trying to tell you, I hate to be blunt with you, but these people still out here making it happen. They were still out here partying. They were still out here traveling. And it wasn't just for whatever. It was for leisure. And I got to be honest with you, hell, most of us been needing a vacation and probably just was too scared to do it. These people are okay with taking risks because they already living to die. They already living to die. And so that wasn't an obstacle. I appreciate your honesty and your diligence to make sure people don't get COVID. But these people don't give a damn. They got to stay at home and work. Between breaks, they was in there bumping and grinding and making breakfast sandwiches and stuff. These people was getting busy. I'm telling people that got pregnant. I done met people that had babies during COVID. I'm like, I never thought you'd get pregnant. Had time to have sex. Understand me? No, that was no challenge for them. But and this perversion, and this is something they've been wanting to do. Because if they could get to a lamb, a dog, a sheep, a pig, or whatever they want to, animal they want to sleep with, trust and believe me, they did that because they wanted to do that. That ain't got, bestiality is a thing. That is a fetish. You know, we have to talk about these things. That's their dark shadow self. What you have to ask yourself, what about a person would make them want to have sex with an animal when there's so many people around them? There's so many ways for you to get sex. There's no reason that any man or any woman should sit up here and say they can't have sex, even if they had to go out there and buy it. Sex is available. It is a hot commodity, marketable product. Sex sells. Sex is everywhere. It's on the TV. It's at the liquor store. It's on the street corner. It's everywhere you go. So if people want to have sex, they can get to it. So I'm with you when you say, let's educate people about sex because you can get sick from sex. Let's understand me. It's STDs and STIs. It's things you can't come back from because you want to have some pleasure. So you need to learn how to pleasure yourself maybe and cut out some of all of this stuff. You understand me? So when you do get with somebody, it's not just built on the foundation of sex. And you could be able to build outside of that because I got to let you know, everybody ain't going to know how to please you. Everybody ain't going to be able to do that. And another thing, even if you did get with somebody that was pleasing you, it's a 70% chance that you may not even be a woman that can experience an orgasm. So it's a lot of things that have to be discussed that have to do with sex in general. Just, what you feel, how you think, how you're looking at it, how you learned about it, those type of conversations. Because people, you learned about it how you learned about it. Okay, well, this is how I learned about it. Okay, nobody, parent ever told them nothing about it. Didn't sit them down and get a roadmap because the parent might be looked at as a pervert. They might say, that's weird. The kid might feel all awkward and everything. You know, so we got boundaries that got to come into play. So then the school, like you said, I don't know that the school is a good place, but there needs to be some sort of organizations where parents begin to feel comfortable. Kids need to learn how to clean themselves. These kids is musty as hell running around here. Don't know how to properly wash their behind.
Right.
You know, there's some issues going on. That breeds fungus and sexual transmitted disease. You sleeping with somebody that don't even got proper hygiene. You know, and then as a woman, you don't even know how to clean your vagina properly after engaging in intercourse. And now you just funky down there. you know, those conversations and how to do that right.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, that also comes to mind as well, and I know that people don't really talk about it very much, but again, part of this conversation needs to also include those who are of the alternative lifestyle. So there are men-men and women-women physical relationships. And so these are the kinds of kinds of conversations that need to be had. Not so much as to get in prying into anyone's business, but it's real. And so all of this has to be included within the experience, because we see these kinds and types of things around us. It's that, you know, what they call it, that pink elephant, I guess, in the room, and you just don't want to give it any knowledge, or the king doesn't have any clothes on bit. So we really need to be a little more mature now more so than ever, I think.
I couldn't agree with you more. Because sex is sex. And whoever and however is happening with whomever is happening with, sex needs to be a topic of discussion. And hygiene is always a topic of discussion. I don't even have to categorize that. And I'll tell you why. Because this is a universal message. This is a message no matter man or woman, we can have a discussion about ejaculation. You know, we can all talk about the benefits of that. You know, that releases natural endorphins into your body.
That's right.
That helps your back and your legs. Come on
now.
It helps relieve stress. You might have a headache. You don't know why you got a headache, because you gotta go ahead and have sex. They might not be able to link the benefits of sex to your mental health, but I'm here to let you know we could go back and look at some studies where, you know, they talk about neurosis and things like that. Sex plays a big part of your life, and I want them to also stop talking about like sex ends for people, because older people have sex. I done worked in nursing homes and seen 80 and 90 year old people still having sex. And told me that's why they still alive. You understand me? Because that, if you go without it after you have experienced it for so long, at some point you may experience some type of mental health. Because you, and what if you found out it was because you just wasn't having sex? You understand that? You have to have the body connection. When you have sex with someone, a part of your soul and their soul becomes merged, no matter if you stay with them or not. So all of that stuff has to be discussed and taught and told to kids that are of an age that needs to hear these kinds of things, so that they don't get so promiscuous or so curious about it. But definitely need to be talked about 16, 17, because we have to face the facts that kids are having sex. We have to face that music and stop thinking that, oh, well, these kids are going to start having sex at 18. Because now we're waiting too late and we're missing the opportunity. So it's time to recognize some things now.
Let me throw a question at you your way, Sister Chambers, because there's some things that has been with us for so long. And I think about stories that I've read about what had happened during slavery, for instance, when master, and we don't even have to go back into the colonial ages. I mean, we could come up into the almost 40s and 50s and 60s, when the white counterpart, the European counterpart, just came into a black man's house or a family's house and just had their way with the wife or the daughters. What does that say about us as black men? What is it that we need to adjust our psyche about in the process too as well with this? So, I mean, I'd sure like to hear your thoughts about that.
See, I knew somebody gonna take me down that rabbit hole, and because we're already programmed in so many ways. This has been a well-oiled machine for these people, and I just got to be honest with you. This has been a well-oiled machine, and so we have to go and ask what he's seen from his pappy. What he grew up on, what were those values? You know, during that time, if you were to stand up to that man, everything you thought about was going to crumble. Do you understand what is connected to the man's manhood? Having the opportunity to walk around with two legs, having something, having a dollar to his name, having a job of dignity. We talking about men during that time. We got to think about the things that were important to them. And I'm not saying his wife wasn't important to him, but he understood. He got enough sense to know that if he stand up right now, he ain't going to be able to fix the ladder for this family. He understands his place. Even then, they understood that place. That has been programmed into us. And we have a lot of anger. These men, I feel bad for these. I feel bad for our people in general, because these men have to walk around with that in their blood. That's in they instincts. So that's something that I can just say, man, we have to really sit down and admit that, so that you can go ahead and heal. Because with no admittance to that, now we're looking at allowances. So at this point in 2021, we're looking at the allowances on this situation. I would say, why are we still allowing this at this point in 2021, where we have been aware and we are more conscious of things in 2021? Why are these things still happening? Why are Black women still suffering in silence? Why are Black women still being put down and thrown to the side? And why can't a Black woman talk about her sexuality and not be looked at as a hoe? Or a bitch, or she can't be a wife because she is in touch with who she is and what she needs. Mm-hmm. You know, that's so where my mind goes.
Yeah, do you think for us as Black men that maybe the imagery also has been screwed up into our heads? You know, the closer to white, right, the lighter, especially Black women are to white, then that's our way of saying, oh, she's really wild, bodacious. She's out there. I think I remember, if I remember seeing the, what was the name of the movie about the strip club?
P-Valley?
No, not P-Valley. No, this was a movie. Maybe a few years back. But I think the main character in there, the protagonist in there, was a light-skinned Black woman, right?
The Players Club.
Wait, say that again?
The Players Club.
Players, that's right. That's what I was looking at. And so, even the kind and type of imagery that's been bombarded with us, right? We have now people like Doja Cat, Iggy Azalea, who's actually Australian, right? I can't think of others. Sisters who have graced the YouTube videos, and if you can kind of line them up as with their color tones of their skin. It's almost the kind of type of imagery we're saying that, oh, the lighter they are, the wilder they are, or the darker they are, they have to have this kind of mold. And so the imagery that we've been bombarded with so much so has confused us.
This ain't no new imagery. This is the same imagery that's been going on since it's been going on. Just like we got this crap in our DNA, they got it in theirs too. Okay. And we're all fighting against the blood. Right now, we are all fighting against our instincts. We're all fighting against things that we have been programmed. People are on the cusp of change right now. I see white people over here working very hard to address their inner selves and things that have been going on with their families for generations, just as this generation is. And so I would like to think that, you know, we have to continue to do the work. This ain't nothing new. The Black man had been sleeping with the white woman in the house while her husband was sleeping with his wife. Come on now. This ain't nothing new. This is not nothing new. It's under the sun. This is just upcycled. And it keeps happening. And until we start to recognize these patterns and say, huh, why is this happening? Because it keeps happening. It just happens a little bit different each time. And so I would say, hey, even me, I'm not in a relationship where I'm in a black-on-black couple. No, I decided to date outside my race. And so people decide to do what they want to do because they get to love who they want to love. And so maybe that's what they was doing then. Who am I to judge that? I'm only looking at it from the outside. I didn't have that experience, but I can speak only of what we're going through right now. And I can say people are changing. This world is becoming one big melting pot of folk. And we have to be conscious of that.
Okay.
because that is happening. That this is something that we cannot get away from. And so we have to just realize, hey, things are changing. Are we going to accept this change, or are we going to do something to prevent it?
Okay.
But looking at this whole discussion and just saying, hey, let's begin to address sex differently. Let's begin to mold our children the way we want them to be exposed to sex. Would that be such a bad thing?
That's a good question.
Because that's where we're looking at, right? We're looking at, because we already know what we know, but how do we help? How do we help that generation looking back at what we felt like we needed? How can we help this generation coming up?
Well, I think the one thing I think we can work on with kids, though, is don't shame the kids or don't make the kids feel guilty because they're in puberty stages and they finally starting to, you know, probably, you know, like the idea of sex, though. I think parents should have a closer amount of talk with them, though, to at least let them know about that a little bit more, you know, so that they're not out here making poor choices, you know, or, you know, at least, I mean, and that's a very tricky conversation to have because you don't want to give no ideas to the kids, but at the same time, these kids are more influenced by social media, their friends, schools, you know, activities that they are involved in. So I think it's a tricky question, but I think it's better to allow the kids to be able to express their sexual desires, you know, and maybe the parent can have more, can give the kid more boundaries, you know, so that, you know, because I think that the important piece, though, for kids, though, is to make sure they are having sex, they're having sex for the right reasons, you know. Don't have sex because you feel that God loves you and you want to give him something up because you want to keep him there, you know, or, you know, or have sex with your girlfriend having it and that you feel uncomfortable because a person having sex in an early age, so it can be detrimental too, you know.
So exactly.
I think it's a tricky question, you know. I think it really takes off the parent, but I would definitely say don't shame the kids, though, because they want to get sexually active, you know, especially females. So females that want to do that, though, they can think it's being hoes, you know, or the girl being too fast, you know. But she's just trying to understand, you know, I want to do this, though, but I don't know how to do it. Or, you know, so I'm going to do it anyway. So you don't want the kids to do it out of defiance either. So I think that's a great question, but I think I have many different answers to it, you know, depending on the parents.
Well, I agree with you, but I just kind of want to hear from you guys on what you could do. Or how would you help a younger person with this if looking back at, you know, who you were growing up and things that you may have experienced in life? You may say, I felt like at this age or 16 or 17, I could have really used this. Or this the kind of help I could have really used. But we're gonna keep it moving right along. We're going to keep it moving right along. And I just want to hear from everybody else on the line. Anybody else have any reactions to anything else that I said or that my brother from Montgomery had to say to me? Okay. Well, let's talk about orgasms. Let's end the show on orgasms. Do you feel that this is an absolute deal breaker if you're not able to experience that with your partner?
Absolutely.
I think so. Miss Chambers?
Miss, everybody say it's a deal breaker.
Yep, I think so. This is like, hey. Ms. Chambers, I think it is a deal breaker because I'm 52 right now, and I never knew what an orgasm was until I got in my late 40s. So, and that's just keeping it 100 because I never had one, having sex with anyone. Don't mind telling you about it. So I kind of felt like I was wasting my time. I kind of see what everybody's saying on this call about, you know, your grandparents, your mom, whatever, saying, wait, you know, don't do this and don't do that. So they knew something that we didn't know. And I wish that someone could have sat down and told me or talked to me about, you know, how this is supposed to go, what this is supposed to do, versus I'm learning from an older person as I got older. And now that I'm 52, I'm getting books in the mail from Carol Wright and Easy Comfort. Once you get past the bras, here you see all these dildos and penis pumpers. I'm like, what is the hell is they doing? My God, today. I'm like, oh, my God. But I do know that, you know, I'm like Miss Divine earlier. She said that size matter and all this other stuff. Yes, it does. Because I can play with my own stuff. And I don't need you tickling me, so I do need to have some type of size, and I do need to know that you know what you're doing when it comes to me. I feel like I don't need to educate everybody that, you know, and it hasn't been a lot of people I've been with, that I got to educate you on how to please me. Now, I know how to please you, and it didn't come with no manual instructions, and nobody told me. I learned on my own, but why you can't please me, and I got to tell you, no, a little to the left, no, go back to the right, right there, just stay there. No, that's too much energy. I say that to say that, no, no. Orgasms are, well, since I know what they are, I think it's a much needed thing for both male and female. I think if we don't have them, it's going to create a lot of things to go on in our bodies. I think they're there for a reason. So if you can't get stimulated, by having sex, when having sex with your mate, then some kind of way you got to figure out how to do self-pleasing to yourself. So maybe they might need some of these Carol Wright books and these Easy Comfort, you know, that I could share with them, because I sure didn't subscribe to them, and I don't know how they came to my house.
My God, today. My God, today.
Go in, Ms. Laney. Go in. Let them know.
Yep, got to let them know.
Don't want no fast pumper.
I gotta. Can I get in on this?
My God, today you sure can.
Because isn't this still part of the communication, though? I mean, look, not every. I don't think there's anyone who's well schooled in the human anatomy, male or female, and so. Isn't this part of communicating with your partner and letting him or her know what it is or where to go and what to do? You know, it's stimulated thoughts in my head because of the fact that I had never did oral sex at all onto a woman. I mean, I thought that was like the craziest thing in the world. I say, oh no. We don't do that kind of, that's not in our culture. We don't do that kind of, that foolishness. And so, but I really had to be talked through it, but, you know, eventually it got there. But it's things that, especially if you're not used to doing at all, or something that you know that this is not part of your culture or part of your ideology when you're having sexual relationships with the opposite sex, I think that's communication. You have to talk with your partner. And so it's the darndest thing, but hey, you have to do something. You have to say something, even if your partner doesn't know what to do or where to go or how to do it, or you're too fast, or you're being too rough, or no, I don't like anal penetration, etc. You have to talk this thing out. So isn't all of this still part of communication?
That's oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wait a damn minute.
I would like to comment on that one.
Okay, you go ahead, and then I'm going to shut the hell up. Go ahead.
I agree about the whole communication thing, but if you're going to be player to me and going to make me think that you're going to do this and do that, I don't feel like I got to have no conversation with you. You better come on
say
with the
that.
Come on.
You better come through. You better come through.
No. You know what I'm saying? Don't act like you about it and you know you're not about it.
Coming out there with a smoker's jacket on and everything.
What in the hell? Miss Laney will show you the dough. Get out.
You better say it. Probably.
And when I got my orgasm, it wasn't through oral sex. Please believe. I don't like that because you ain't putting gingivitis all up in my vajayjay.
I'm done.
A mouthwash. They got mouthwash and toothpaste for that. And peroxide.
Okay. And got before me up in the doctor's office getting some medication because I got all other kind of stuff going on up in there. No, you can miss me with that one. But, no, I'm not finna communicate with you about it. If you come and step into me and say, hey, baby, let's do this here. You know, we've been talking for a while and we vibing and whatever, and you can't put up, you better shut up and get out my door. I'm not finna tell you how to please me. I don't feel like that's my job when you done... You done orchestrated to me that you know what you're doing.
Come on now. Come on now. These ain't the teen. That's the problem with the men. They still be functioning like they dealing with teenage women. And they need to realize that these be grown women that didn't have no disappointment. By the time they get to your ass, they just ain't got time.
Right.
They got to go to work in the morning. They got a hair appointment. They got to be in the hair salon for 8 damn hours. Still got to get their nails done and still got to get a wax. I mean, we do a lot of swimming. And then you turn around and show up with this 3 minutes and 34 seconds. Come on, get the hell off. It's been a long week. You sexually frustrated and you're just irritated.
Don't get me hot and bothered and you ain't trying to put out the fire. That's all I'm
saying. You better say it. Because I am so tired of these men that talk all of this talk. And then when they get with a woman who know what she's doing, they try to get you and be like, oh, you know, that dang, I didn't know that you was like that. I didn't know you was like that. I'm real disappointed. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Because you talked and you revved yourself up and you got me all revved up. And now you talking about, oh, I'm done. Nigga, you didn't do
that. You better say it.
You didn't do nothing. But I love this that you sharing your experience, you know, with the orgasm, Ms. Laney, and that it did not come, it wasn't a clitoral orgasm, because I'm just really shocked that a lot of women don't know that there are more than one type of orgasm, let alone that the clitoral orgasm is not the only kind.
Come on, educate us real quick, Ms. Devine. We got 10 minutes. Let's go. Because we didn't even get to talk about the squirting, because y'all missed out on that.
We're going to talk about that right now. It's never too late. All I need is a couple seconds. Here we go. So there's something called the G-spot. Every woman has a prostate gland just like men do. It's called the skene gland. And when the G-spot is hit, which is by the cervix, during deep penetration, you do not have to have a very, very large penis to be able to do it, but you do have to know how to work what you have. And basically, when you are hitting that spot, and there's friction there, you can have a vaginal or a G-spot orgasm. That is the orgasm that will produce the fluid that people think is pee, but it's actually a squirting orgasm. That is something that I feel like people really need, women, not people, but women really need to get into. Why? Because we hold all of our emotions as women in our pelvic region, our area. And when that area is accessed internally and is stimulated, those emotions that you hold in there, that energy is that squirting orgasm. So when they, and see, that's the reason why I think they polluted it and over-sexualized it in the pornography industry, because to make it something that you are repulsed by, because they also turn around in church and in family and all types of other ways, make sex seem like it's something that's so bad. So when you watch pornography, for those that do, you know, you see this all pornography, these women that are squirting. But what people don't realize is there's a spiritual as well as psychological, even a physiological benefit behind female ejaculation. That is the proper name for it. It's not really called squirting. It's called female ejaculation. But I'm just going to go ahead and keep talking. So
when you know that's right. That's exactly right. Go ahead, Mr. Yeah. Bond.
So when it comes to, you know, female ejaculation, which comes from the skin gland, that is something that can help you to release negative, toxic, bad energy. And then here's the other thing. If you allow someone to, a man, and you can even do this yourself. You could do it with, you know, a dildo stimulation, you know. I don't want to do it by myself because I like, you know, the real thing. But I can and I have. But the whole point is this. When you access that part of yourself, and you have that type of experience should only be had with someone that you trust, because when it does happen, you can have emotions that come up. You can start to cry. That's why they sometimes nickname it as the crying orgasm, not just because mm-hmm. your vagina is kind of crying in a good way, but because it can cause you to have feelings that you did not even realize existed in you. You can have trauma that has been repressed that can come up. That's why I see it's a psychological thing as well. And when you release that type of fluid and that energy that's in you, that's been stuck in you, you will feel so much better and you will feel so light. You'll be walking around on cloud nine thinking that you took a, you know, one of those pills that the suburban women take, you know, one of the little happy pills.
A Xanny. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You'll have your own calmness that'll come from within. And then the spiritual parts of it, you will literally feel like you're on a high, not just mentally, but spiritually. Things will start coming to you. Things will become more clear to you. And then physically, it can clear up your skin. You know, if this is a regular practice, you know, it's called a yoni massage. For those who do these things by themselves and for themselves and with themselves, they even have now yoni massages, places where you can go get a yoni massage for someone to activate that part in you in a safe manner. Because that's really deep. Because just like having a physical massage is really deep, just like having your back aligned and your spine aligned, having your cervix and having yourself unplugged emotionally. You know, they say you act like a bitch. What's wrong with you? When you have yourself emotionally, honey, mm-hmm. you'll be the sweetest person, and you'll be.
Let me just ask you that: would that be cheating?
Well,
I
would say that your partner maybe should go with you so that he can learn how to do it. Because to be honest, I wouldn't want if I was a man, I wouldn't, and I couldn't do it or didn't know how to do it, I would want to be educated on how to help my wife to become more, not just more pleasant that she's getting on my nerves, but for her sake. I would want my wife or my partner to be free. Because honestly, even if you have never been through any sexual trauma, not accessing that part of yourself can literally cause you to have some sort of neurosis if you're not expressing yourself sexually. And that is from Wilhelm Reich, a psychologist, mm-hmm. a psychoanalyst. That's also from Carl Jung, and that's also from Nikola Tesla. So these are things that have been studied. They're just called by different names. Orgone energy, life force energy, the mojo. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch Austin Powers when they said you stole my mojo. Men have a G-spot too. It's in your anus. There you go, and I'm done.
My God, today, we're not going to get on the anus today. I'm going to tell y'all just like this. This is, we gonna get off on a good note, and I hope everybody is willing and more empowered to go out and explore themselves sexually after this discussion and get to know themselves better in that way. I am so happy we were able to have this vagina dialogue today on Black Sister Talk. Ms. Divine, you was cutting up. I'm appreciative that we had enough time to even get through that much of it. And let us know if you want to continue to have these vagina dialogues, because I think these are conversations that need to happen more often so that we can become more comfortable in doing so. I appreciate each and every one of you on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. And I hope to see you here next Saturday, where we will be discussing...
They Ooh. Ready.
I guess that's it.
Let's go.
Bye, guys.
I'm feeling myself.
Thank you, Sister Chambers. Thank you.
I'm feeling myself. feeling myself. I'm feeling my, feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling my, feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I want some hood girls looking back at it and a good girl in my tax bracket. Got a black card and less sex habit. These Chanel bags is a bad habit. I do balls, damn Mavericks. My Maybach, black matted. Bitch never left, but I'm back at it. And I'm feeling myself, Jack Rabbit. Feeling myself, back off. Cause I'm feeling myself, Jack off. He be thinking about me when he wax off. Wax on? National anthem, hats off. Then I curve that nigga like a bad horse. Let me get a number two with some Mac sauce. Or on a run tour with my mask off. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling my, feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling my, feeling my, feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling my, feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling my. Change the game when that digital drop. Know where you was when that digital pop. I stopped the world. Male or female, it make no difference. I stopped the world. World stop. Carry on.
Kitty on peak. Pretty on peak. Pretty gang, always keep them niggas on geek. Biting through Texas. Feed them for his breakfast. Every time I whip it, I be talking so reckless. He said, damn, Nikki is tight. I said, yeah, nigga, you right. He said, damn, babe, you so little, but you be really taking that pipe. I said, yes, daddy, I do. Give me brain like NYU. I said, teach me, nigga, teach me. All this learning here is by you.
I'm whipping that work. He digging that work. I got it. 36 for that real, pack it full of that bounce, baby. Come get you some of that bounce, baby. I'm feeling myself, I'm feeling myself, I'm feeling my, feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling my, feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling my, feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling my.
Cooking up that bass, looking like a killer. He just wanna taste. Ain't got punchlines or flow.